I've been calling these messages Keep Thy Heart. This is number 4. Let's start off here in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 8. Here's what it says. Instructions given here to Solomon, verse 8. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. Let me just say something about that verse. I know it's Old Testament and it's aimed at Israel, but that principle is true in the church age. God blesses obedience to Him. Amen to that? You may not get an abundance of money or property or possessions, but you will get spiritual blessings when you seek the Lord and keep His commandments. Now look at verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart. That'll be the first kind of heart we talk about tonight, a perfect heart. But look at the rest of the verse. Serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. That verse 9 is loaded. Couple things. Number one, the Lord searches the hearts of men. Notice after that it says He understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. God knows the reason why you think what you do. You can fool a lot of people. I know that we often get on kids for trying to be actors and trying to fool their parents and trying to fool their authorities. Hey, adults got this down pretty good too. You got to be careful of this. You got to stay on guard for this all the time. I'm talking about your thoughts. God knows your thoughts, and He knows why you're thinking the thoughts you are. He has the motive. He knows the motive behind it. Your thoughts, you've heard from this pulpit before, this very same message, your thoughts become things. You are what you think about. And all that, thoughts are connected with what is in your heart. You decide what you put in your heart. You will operate based on what's in your heart. You'll make decisions based on what's in there. So the first heart we will examine tonight is a perfect heart. We can add this to the list since we've had a broken heart, a proud heart, a clean heart, a double heart, a single heart, a merry heart. Let's add a perfect heart. Reminder here, go to 1 Kings 11 while you're turning over there, back to the left, 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Samuel 16 says, man looketh on the outward appearance. And you know this is true. The outward appearance can fool you. But the verse goes on to say, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Man looks at what's on the outside. God knows what's really in you and me. And that's what He's most concerned about. 1 Kings chapter 8. Did I say 8 or did I say 11? Okay, let's go to 11. Let's go to 11. We'll go that one first. I'm not going to have time for all these anyway, so let's just go on to 11 here. A perfect heart. Let's see what the Bible says about this. Verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn your heart. They will turn away your heart after their gods. But look what sad statement at the end of verse 2. Solomon clave unto these in love. Notice in that verse, heart is mentioned, and shortly after that, love is mentioned. You will love the things that are in your hearts. So right here, Solomon, what's in his heart? You know what's in his heart by what he loves. What's in his heart? All these Gentile women are in his heart. He's been looking at them. Most likely been lusting after them. You know the account of Solomon. Look at verse 3. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. Watch this statement. And his wives turned away what? His heart. The direction of his heart was influenced by people. In this instance, this is for all us fellas here. In this instance, a man's heart is turned away from God because of the influence of the wrong women. Men, beware of women. Women, beware of women. Men, beware of men. The wrong influences will turn your heart away from God. Now you say, what's this got to do with a perfect heart? I don't see that. Let's keep going. Verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So it sounds, when I read verse 5, I kind of think, well, and if you look at the life of Solomon, it matches. Solomon's heart at one time was turned to God. And he walked before God with the right heart. But the influence... Now, this is an old man here. As an old man, and this is... God's word is for young and old. It's not like you get to a certain age and, oh, I got it all figured out. As an old man, that's when his heart turned away from God because of the wrong influences. So notice also in verse 4, it mentions David. And it mentions David's heart. And according to what we read there, it says his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. It sounds to me like David's heart was, what's the word? Perfect. Now hold on a second. He was a rascal, wasn't he? Wasn't David kind of a rascal? And understand, a perfect heart does not mean sinless. In fact, that word perfect in your Bible does not mean sinless. You should know that. Perfect in your Bible means complete, mature. So David did some things that were not what God wanted, but what was the condition of David's heart after he sinned? You ever read Psalm 51? He got his heart right back on track with the Lord, understanding and acknowledging his sin, first and foremost, was against God. So to have a perfect heart does not mean you live a sinless life, or all of us have no chance, right? A perfect heart, if you're walking with a perfect heart before the Lord, what that means is you keep a short account of sin in your life. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, you don't linger, you take care of that immediately. And that way you continue to stay on track with the Lord and keep your heart right with the Lord. Okay, go to 1 Kings 15. How about another example? 1 Kings 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. And verse 1. Let's look at some other folks and their hearts. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. Verse 3. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. Okay, now, this is Abijam. Who's Abijam's father, folks? Did you catch it in verse 1? Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Who's his mother? It mentions Jeroboam reigning over Israel. Who's his mother? Maacah. Okay, and she actually has an interesting name there, Abishalom. But notice it says there, and he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. As a result, watch this. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. You'll notice here, if you don't know, a lot of times many of the kings, David is called their father. You should know this. In the Bible, a father, when it says father, it can be father, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-great-great-grandfather, and so on. So it says there that his father, that he walked before, it doesn't sound like he was a good influence. He walked in all the sins of his father. This is Abijam. And as a result, his heart was not what? Perfect with the Lord his God. Okay? How about another one? Go down to verse 11, same chapter. This is going to be a little better here. It says, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Okay, that's good. Verse 12, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. That's good. Am I allowed to say that in 2023? Yeah, because the Bible says it. Okay? It's okay. Verse 13, and also Maacah, his mother, even her, he removed from being queen. Oh, man. He didn't allow family to get the upper hand because she had made an idol in a grove. Watch out for that grove. And Asa destroyed her idol. Go, Asa. And burnt it by the brook Kidron. Hey, this guy's good, huh? He wants to do what God wants him to do. Look at verse 14. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Now, I say, most of the kings that it talks about their heart not being perfect, they're not good, obviously. At least Asa, he's got a lot going for him, doesn't he? He's got a lot of good things about him. But I know on purpose the Holy Spirit recorded verse 14. What does that say there? But what happened? He allowed those high places to stay where they were. Now, do we have high places in our world today? You ever see cell phone towers? Modern day high places? What do you think? I know there's good that can come out of cell phones, but I'm telling you, after just some events of this past week that I have become privy to, most of the action with cell phones is bad, bad, bad. You say, oh, it's kids. No. It's kids and adults. Bad, bad, bad. If we ripped down some of those towers, we wouldn't get cell service. Amen. That would be... You remember the days of the flip phones? We were a lot better off. You know what? Let me tell you why. And this goes along with so many verses in your Bible. Images were not as readily available to see and send on flip phones. But then we got... Miss Charlotte's got one. I see an image there, though, so be careful. But what I'm saying is the more advanced technology becomes, that does not equal we're getting better. Spiritually, most of the time, advanced technology equals downhill spiritual. Downhill spiritually. So just bring that up. Asa had a lot going for him, but there's one thing that the Holy Spirit pointed out that, oh man, if just taking care of that. And I'm going to bring something up here. I don't know what it is for you, and you don't know what it is for me. And this is between me and God. This is between you and God. But there have been times in my life where the Lord will just put his finger on something and say, hey, when are you going to take care of that? It could be a myriad of things. And usually it's a little thing. And oftentimes, nobody else knows about it except for you. And the Lord will just keep, he'll just take his finger, and his finger's not always gentle, is it? He'll press, and he'll press on you. Hey, you see that? When are you going to get rid of that? Hey, that relationship you have with that person, that so-called friend that you have, you know they need to take a back seat. You know you need to find somebody to replace them. Hey, that thing in your house that you got that you keep going to that's bringing you down, get it out. Could be a book, could be a movie, could be something that plays a movie. I don't know what it is. These little things can prevent your heart from being what it should be with the Lord. And isn't that interesting? That one little detail, forever, Ace has got that one little detail. That's what the one little thing that the Lord was probably pressing on him out about for a long time, but he wouldn't budge. And here it is. I'm glad that my sins are not recorded in the Bible. Asa's issue right here was, you'll see some of the other kings. I believe Josiah is one that comes to mind. You know what he did with the high places? He ripped them down. Usually the high places were places of idol worship. And that was a hindrance to the people. The king might not have worshipped the idol, but as long as it was present, the people had it available to worship, and the king, if he was wise, would say, I want my people to follow the Lord, not anybody else, not anything else. So you had something on that, Zane? If you would, go over to 1 Kings 20, 2 Kings 20 while we do this. Go ahead, Zane.
So, interesting you brought up the word grove. Mentioned 41 times in the Bible, and out of the 41 times it's mentioned, 40 of those times are very negative connotations.
I'd say the math lines up with the Grove not being good. And it's heavy math, yeah. I'm surprised. You said 40 out of 45?
40 out of 41 times.
Oh, 40 out of 40. Okay, I misheard you. Because when I've looked at it, there's one that's neutral. And it's hard to say good or bad on that one. But if you have 40 negative and one neutral, it's bad. So, yeah, so anyway, yeah, interesting stuff. 2 Kings 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a what? Now, who's talking here? This is the king. This is his prayer. This is Hezekiah's prayer. These are his words recorded. Isn't that kind of a bold statement? You got to stay with it, though. Don't stop. I know the first time I really studied this, I thought, wow, kind of braggadocious, huh? Let's keep going, though. He says, I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will what? Answered prayer. I will heal thee on the third day. That's a neat little statement there. That third day in your Bible. Thou shalt go up. Isn't that something? On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And he says in verse 6, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Now let's talk about this heart thing. First off, if you caught what's happening, Hezekiah is told by Isaiah, message from God, you are going to die. And it sounds as if it will happen very rapidly, very quick. He says, set thine house in order. So rather than Hezekiah saying, well, I guess I'm going to die, he does what all of us should do in times of trouble, when you receive news that may not be favorable to you. He prays. And I really believe, and we can talk about this after if you want to, we can discuss it, but I really believe verse 3, I believe Hezekiah is telling the truth about himself. And the reason I say that, and he says there, I've walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. I personally don't think he gets the answer to his prayer if he's not telling the truth there. Does the Lord know? Did the Lord know Hezekiah's heart? You better believe it. He's telling the one who searches hearts, he's telling him the condition of his heart. He's not going to fool God. So I don't see why Hezekiah would say something like that if he didn't mean it. Doesn't mean he was sinless. We know he was. All men are sinners. Doesn't mean he never did anything contrary to God's law. Obviously, he broke God's law. I mean, there was a sacrificial system in place. But I really believe that Hezekiah had a short account with sin with the Lord. And God answers his prayer. Isn't that something right there? So we looked at a couple of kings who did not have perfect hearts. Here's a guy that does. Now, here's the sad thing about this. You keep going here, and he has a son in those 15 years that turns out to be a really bad guy. And it makes you wonder, what if that son had never been born? And he ends up being a king because Hezekiah dies and he takes over. And it makes you speculate on all kinds of crazy things. But it's interesting how all that comes to pass. I say that because we have what we want to happen, and sometimes God answers our prayers according to what we ask. And sometimes it's for our own good, and He's okay with the Lord's okay with that. And sometimes it'd been better if we just said, Lord, you just do whatever you want. So, again, that's a whole, you open up a whole lot to talk about there. So, that's something to study out on your own here. For time's sake, I think we'll just cover this one heart here, but I do want to wrap up in 2 Chronicles 25. I had two more we're going to hit tonight, but actually they go together, and it wouldn't really make sense to hit one without the other, so we'll save them for next week. 2 Chronicles 25, last one here. It's a good place to stop on this verse anyway. Good summary verse on a perfect heart. 2 Chronicles 25. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. Now watch verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. What's that all about? If he's following the Lord, he's probably got a perfect heart, right? It doesn't say exactly what I said. Look what it said. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now, being in Christian school for, I think, 24 or 5 years now, I understand that verse right there. And here's why. All the Christian schools I've worked at have had rules, some more than others. Some rules made a lot of sense. Some rules maybe didn't make sense. But the first school I taught at was a really, really solid Christian school. I thought they had a really good balance on making sure the kids did the right thing and having a Bible basis for it. And now, you know, kids, they don't like any rules, do they? It doesn't matter if you show them in the Bible. They don't like it. But here's what I found out. There was a lot of kids in that school. I think this is typical of a lot of Christian school kids. There's a lot of kids that appear, that's a good kid. They're doing right. I don't ever hear them say foul language. I've heard them pray, and they sound very sincere. And they're helping this person out over here, and they seem to be joyful in doing so. And you can go on and on. But then the test comes when they are out from under the authority. And they're out on their own. And now, a lot of the kids I'm thinking of, when I think about this, I think of certain kids. Good family, in church, saved. Family's a great influence. Good mom and dad. Go to school, good influences there with the teachers. Good administration. Rules, biblical rules that have a good reason for them. And they get out from underneath that. And they go absolutely haywire. And here's what was happening. They were only doing right because they had to. When they got a little freedom, they took advantage of it, which tells you their heart was not right with God, even though on the outside it sure did look like it. And I'll tell you, some kids, and this is not just kids, but working with kids, I know this one for certain, kids and adults, kids are really good actors. And they can fool the best of adults. I think I'm pretty discerning when it comes to being able to see things, but I'm telling you, kids have fooled me time and time again. I thought, oh, that kid, I can't imagine he would ever do anything like that. Oh, yeah, that sure did. You wouldn't believe what they did. It's awful. And what it is, it's the appearance of following the Lord, but all they're doing is keeping the rules for a time. And they know, it's almost like they're counting the days, and they know, when I get out of here, it's on. I can do what I want. So the Lord searches the hearts. There's a great example there of a man. He looked like he was following the Lord, but what does your Bible say about him? He did not have a perfect heart. It says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. It is the heart attitude that determines whether a person is right with the Lord or not. Appearing to be right does not make a person right with the Lord. We are easily fooled, all of us. The Lord is not fooled, ever. He searches the hearts, He knows the hearts, and here it is recorded about a man, on purpose by the Holy Spirit. He had the appearance, but his heart was not right with the Lord. So, good place to stop right there. Next week, you don't want to miss next week. We're going to talk about this thing about a hard heart. And who's the person that comes to mind when you think of a hard heart? There's one person that always comes to mind everybody wants to talk about. Who is it? It's Pharaoh. So it's good that we'll actually have a little more time to spend on that next week, because I want to dispel some of the nonsense that you hear about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart and look at what the Bible says. Look at several verses that actually spell it out and make it real clear. I'll just say this. Don't just think that unsaved people can have hard hearts. I'll preview it next week. I will show you a place where the disciples, right after witnessing a miracle, had hard hearts. Which leads me to believe, I can get a hard heart. You can get a hard heart. Guard your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Is that what it says? Proverbs 4. Jonathan just happened to be there Sunday. I wonder if the Lord has a message for us about the heart. Did you notice that on Sunday morning? And Wednesday night? Man, Lord's knocking, I think. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that you are concerned with us, that you have an interest in us, Think about Psalm 8. And it says, what is man thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him. And it's amazing that you even care at all about us. We are nothing. You are everything. I thank you that you take a keen interest in the affairs of men, in the hearts of men. And I ask that all of us, if there is something that's keeping us from having a perfect heart with you, we would get it right now. I pray that we would be fully aware of our complete inability to fool you. And I pray that folks would really deal with you concerning their heart. May this be a reminder to us all the time about constantly looking at the condition of our heart, making sure it's right with you and following you. We want to pray for folks that would love to be here that are not right now. Pray for strength and comfort them. I think of Brother Bob and Miss Marge right now. I know they, Brother Bob would love to be here, Miss Marge as well. And I just pray for help for them and comfort and strength. And I just ask that you help all those folks, lots of them, that watch faithfully and listen faithfully. Work on their hearts as well, even though they're not physically present with us. And I pray for help as we go from here. We need your guidance and direction and wisdom. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.